This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
And today we're on the road. We are brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. Appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support of being title sponsor, Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sessmatt with you. As you can see, Scott Bordeaux has come up because everybody knows Scott. We're live at the Suns today. Pedro Gomez is going to be with us coming up at 10:20 for our weekly conversation. Always good to have Pedro Gomez with us. We are Arizona-centric, pro, college, high school. I don't care. Just a little bit of everything. And we've been at it for 6 years. When you see sponsors pop up on this site, please support them. Without their support, we're not doing it. Completely self-funded. And now Scott Bordeaux, because the Suns, this is your beat now, right?
This is my beat, officially as of 2 days ago.
AZ Central Sports Suns Insider. You want columnist, insider?
I'm an insider beat writer, whatever you want to call me, Brad. You and I go way back. Whatever you want to call
me. So today, press conference, in an hour, Robert Sarver is going to speak, which never happens. Right. So that's news in its own right. It's why I'm here. And he's going to be sitting with Ryan McDonough.
Right.
So we would assume that Ryan McDonough, from what hearing, is going to involve him. But you're hearing other stuff.
I'm hearing there'll be multiple announcements at today's press conference. I don't know what those announcements will be. I'm presuming because it's Robert and Ryan, and Ryan is heading to the last year of his contract, that this would involve a contract extension for Ryan.
Which he deserves, in my opinion.
Right, which he definitely deserves. That would make complete sense.
Yep.
But I can't get anybody to confirm that to me right now. But I still think that's going to be part of this press conference. Now, what the other announcements are, I don't know. Could it be about Earl Watson? But Earl would be here, you would think, if it was something about Earl. So
I'm
not sure.
You would think if it involved Earl, that it would already be out. Too, nationally.
But you think that about Ryan as well?
The agents, well, does Ryan need to get the word out if he's staying? If Ryan was leaving?
Well, either would Earl, though, if they're staying. I mean, I'm not sure what the other announcements are. I don't expect an arena announcement today. I know some people are speculating on that. I don't think Ryan would be here if that was the case. I think this is basketball related. That's why I think it's Ryan's contract extension is part of it. But what the other announcements are, Suns are keeping this very secretive.
Well, and I think, too, you could look at the roster. We have not got any resolution about Alex Len, right?
Yeah, that wouldn't be part of a major press conference.
Not part of it.
Right.
But if we're just talking if we're talking about players, right? Tyson Chandler, Brandon Knight,
what they do with him.
Okay, so I think as the summer has gone on, you know, everybody, this is going to be, we call in the business winning the room.
Yeah.
So today is going to be, everything is great. This is a monumental day, and here's some other stuff.
Yeah, they might say we're giving Ryan a contract extension for 3-4 years because of the job he's done. Also,
yes.
Alex Len has accepted the qualifying offer.
Yes.
That could be an announcement.
Yes.
You know, it could be those kind
little
of things.
Things
where there's one major announcement and two or three smaller ones.
I mean, on the business side, the arena, they already put Kevin Ray in place for Steve Albert. Al's not going anywhere, I wouldn't think. So, I mean, those would be the only other things that would make any sense at all.
And if
on the
something
broadcast
with Al, he would be here, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So I think.
But it's only, I'm not saying that that's happening,
right,
but
right.
If you go down the list of things around the organization, those are about the only things if we're talking off the court. I mean, the arena, Ryan doesn't need to stand up.
No, and that's why I think this is basketball related.
Yeah,
if it wasn't, Ryan wouldn't be here.
Right. This is Ryan's getting an extension. That to me is what it's been about, but you have some insight that it's more than that. And I'm just.
Well, I know for a fact it's multiple announcements. I just don't know what any of those announcements are right now.
I've been given hints and
that stuff, and we can, you know, you can put one and one together and get two and presume a contract extension for Ryan is part of it.
Yeah.
What the others are, I don't know.
And we agree that he deserves an extension.
I don't think there's any question. He's whiffed on some trades and some free agent signings. You look back at Isaiah Thomas, but you look at his draft picks the last couple of years, you know, Devin Booker, Tyler Ulis, you know, Marquise Chris getting him from Sacramento. He's done a great job in rebuilding this basketball franchise. So, yes, I think he deserves an extension.
Even though they're probably not a playoff team this year.
They're definitely not a playoff team with the West being so overloaded with talent.
Correct.
But I think you have to look down the road. Will they be a playoff team 2-3 years? They have a young core they can keep together now. So I think he's done a really good job finally rebuilding. And give Robert Sarver credit, by the way, for also acquiescing to a complete rebuild. Because for a long time, they wanted to be competitive and rebuild at the same time. You can't do that in the NBA.
And that's why they've been in the ditch for all these years.
Exactly.
You know, when you don't have a playoff game, you know this and I know this, since 2010, That's unacceptable.
Right.
This franchise, of all the franchises in town, has been the biggest letdown, in my view, over the last several years.
But even more unacceptable is not accepting reality and still trying to win their 45 games every year and getting the 8 seed and getting blown out in the first round and getting the 13th pick in the draft.
Yes.
That's more unacceptable. What they've done the last 2 or 3 years is the right way to do it.
But, and I would say to you, I would accept an 8 seed with a young team.
Correct. Yeah.
And there's different... You know this, and I know this. There's different ways of going about getting into the postseason. If you're the Golden State Warriors next year and in the 8 seed, completely unacceptable.
Right.
Won't happen.
Right.
This team gets in the playoffs next year, the 8 seed. Oh, my gosh. Young, exciting. Fans should get behind the team. Get a deep playoff run. Get to know the players. That's the natural progression.
No question. That would be a great season for the Suns next year. But the Suns were trying for a lot of years trying to do it with older guys. Still trying to hang on and be competitive while they rebuilt, and we all know that didn't work.
All right, press conference is at 11. I'll let you go.
Thank you very
much.
If
you feel like jumping back on, if something happens, I'm just hanging out. I'm going to Pedro on here in a few minutes.
I'll be here.
That trade will be the Diamondbacks trade will just be simple. Very good.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
Okay, now what?
Yes.
All right, there's Scott Bordeaux. Right. It's always good to see Scott. He is with AZ Central Sports. Of course, we partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Appreciate Scott dropping on in. All right, so there's that bit of news, and I'm actually considering, probably will do this. I'll probably come back on after the press conference is over, and this is news to everybody back at the home base. But once the press conference is over, and I'll just jump back on here, and we'll go through it. So there's some other things that I want to get to today, and there may be some other people with the Suns that come on by, and those of you that have listened to this show through the years know my absolute utter disappointment, frustration on what this franchise has turned into, because of all the teams in town, this was the one that was the shiniest, the sparkliest, the one that had the most credibility. And when you don't have any playoff games since 2010, that just means you have zero credibility. And they're building back. I'm not going to sit here and shoot spitwads at them. They've done some nice things. There's no question about it. But you can't just sit here and jump up and down with pom-poms and forgive everything that's gone on in the past. And if it is, in fact, Ryan McDonough being extended, which to me makes perfect sense, then that's the right move by this organization today. Pedro is going to be with us here in a few minutes. And I think yesterday, remember when the Diamondbacks were in Los Angeles and Fernando Rodney absolutely crapped the bed and they blew a 4-1 lead? And from that point on, the Diamondbacks went into this tailspin, okay? I think you could say the absolute opposite happened to them yesterday. And I know it's one win, and I know it's the stinking Cincinnati Reds that aren't any good. I get that. But yesterday, all the way around, was a great day if you're a Diamondback fan. In fact, and this is a longer rant I'm going to say for a little bit later in the show, but I'll just give you a little bit on it. We actually are starting to see the corner turned with some of our franchises here in town that have done absolutely nothing other than take your money for the last several years. For the Diamondbacks to make the commitment that they made yesterday, and the whole idea of renting a player in this day and age that could very easily walk away from you, to bring in a player that you've got Paul Goldschmidt and his contract staring you down the face here in a couple of years. You have Zach Greinke you're paying over $30 million to per season. There's no way you can tie up, let's just say, 20 for a first baseman, 33 for a pitcher, and let's say for your right fielder, 15, I don't know. And I'll talk to Pedro about this. That would be over $65 million for three players in Phoenix, in a building situation that the owner is not happy with and the president's not happy with. But they're going for it. I mean, we have to respect. And they traded a bag of rocks, in my opinion. You know, that's it. They didn't trade much. So yesterday was just a terrific day. When I saw that deal come down, and it's been talked about for well over a week, when that deal came down and you saw what they gave up, and yes, it's prospects, and yes, they may come through, but clearly this team needed a shot in the arm, and clearly they needed a message sent downstairs. People don't believe that that's part of baseball. You are kidding yourselves. Having ownership step up and say, we are going to make an addition here, and they didn't move anybody off the roster. What does that tell you? It tells you a couple things. Tigers weren't going to be able to keep him, A. B, is the chemistry of this team so good they don't want to mess it up, which I think it is. That clubhouse is pretty fragile. And beyond that, they have to believe, somewhere Mike Hazen has to believe that there is a tie-in that they can convince a player to stay here like J.D. Martinez beyond 3 months. rental guys in Phoenix, we just don't see that, that come through in a big way. Kurt Schilling was a rental guy when the Diamondbacks first brought him here, if you remember. They were going for it. Jerry stepped up. They made a four-player deal. And at the time, it was, wow, they gave up a lot to get Kurt Schilling. What happened? They ended up winning a World Series. This is what you want from ownership. You don't want ownership, as Scott alluded to earlier, just sits back and says, well, this is great. This is fine. And we're just happy collecting money from people. All right, Pedro Gomez is next. A little bit later in the show, we've got both Jordan and Haley in studio. They put together their baseball podcast. They do a baseball podcast. It's really good. It's a lot of inside baseball. And I'm going to bring them in later on in the show, too, so they can plug what they do, A and B, just their spin on it, because everybody's got an opinion on what happened yesterday. And then we'll have much more from here at the Suns. People may be coming by. I don't know, but I do know this. Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst insider, is next. We're on the road. We're brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. Appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We're at the Suns press conference, which starts at 11 o'clock. Pedro Gomez joins us now, ESPN baseball analyst and insider. I know you just have a couple of minutes, so let's get right into this. The deal itself, how can you argue against anything at all that the Diamondbacks did yesterday? You can't, right? This is one of the biggest home runs that they've had in a long time.
Absolutely. I mean, for Mike Hazen to pull this off, going off of what he did in the spring with the Taiwan Walker deal with Seattle, this is something that, you know, those of us who live in the Valley just haven't seen the Diamondbacks do a lot of this over the course of their history. Even going back 20 years, this is not the norm. You know, they gave up three prospects. The one that I'm hearing from scouts that is the better of the three is Lugo, the one that was at Double A, Dual right. Lugo. But it doesn't matter. You know what? If J.D. Martinez propels them into the postseason, and if they can somehow win a wild card game and get to the second round, at that point, you never know what can happen. And look, Mike Butcher, the pitching coach, has the pitching staff, you know, pitching really well. They're one of the top five team ERAs in all of baseball. So in that sense, you know, you stick J.D. Martinez behind a guy like Paul Goldschmidt and put Jake Lamb in there and David Peralta, and all of a sudden you've got a really deep, deep lineup that's long, and that makes it difficult for an opposing pitcher.
Okay, and it's a lineup, though, that's not going to catch the Dodgers. We know that. But you see the Chicago Cubs.
No.
Cubs.
That's why I say wild card. Yeah.
Right. And you see the Cubs charging hard and the Rockies where they are. This team desperately needed a shot in the arm. What I want to know from you, Pedro, and for the fans is, are you one that subscribes to locker rooms, because I am, needing a shot from upstairs or a message from upstairs that we believe in you, this is why we're doing it? Do you believe that exists in baseball?
I think it absolutely exists, and I think it absolutely is a real thing. Look, last year the Cubs had the best record in baseball, and they were cruising. And all of a sudden, the front office said, you know what? We think you're so good, we're going to go get the best closer available in Aroldis Chapman. And the message it sent inside that clubhouse was, we're good enough to win it all this year. That's the one piece we were missing. The front office for us, now it's in our hands. And that absolutely sends a message, and especially for a club like the Diamondbacks that have not been on this side of the buying and selling. They have never, you know, rarely, I should say, been on the side where they are going nine when they went and got Matt Manti. I know I'm dating myself, but I know you remember that.
Sure.
Manti was a closer. Greg Olson was struggling in that role. And they went and got, boom, they win 100 games. Sure, they lost in the first round of the playoffs, but they made it. And it sent a tremendous message inside that clubhouse. And I think J.D. Martinez again sends a tremendous message, like, wow, buyer, because that's not the Diamondbacks of recent history, that they've been buyers.
Okay, I know you got about a minute or so. Just tell me if you got to run. In J.D. Martinez being here beyond 3 months, you got to look at these 3 months. I get it. What is the connection that keeps him in Arizona long term from your view?
You know, that's going to be a little more difficult because they've got money tied up in Yasmani Tomas. That's going to make it a little more difficult to try to keep him over the winter. And look, if they make the playoffs and JD Martinez becomes a free agent and signs elsewhere, that's still a win for the Diamondbacks because they'll be back in the postseason for the first time in a lot of years. But, you know, you never know what could happen. He could fall in love with the area. He could say, you know what? I like playing for Torrey Lovullo. I think this is a good organization that's on the rise, and I'm willing to stay here maybe for less money than he might get elsewhere. So they've got basically a 2 to 3 month trial to kind of sell him on the Diamondbacks, and that's never a bad thing.
Okay, you got to run or you got a minute?
I got a minute. Until my phone rings, I've got a minute.
Okay, so what are we talking about price tag for J.D. Martinez on the open market? Can you give the fans an idea? Because you've got Greinke's big number at $33 million still on the books. Goldschmidt needs a new deal. I mean, can they financially tie up over $65, $70 million in three players out here?
That's going to be tough for the Diamondbacks because they don't have that that type of budget to be able to do a lot of that. Now, you know, J.D. Martinez is probably going to be – look, Mark Trumbo got $47 million over three. I would say that J.D. Martinez is probably going to be in the four-year range for somewhere in that 60 to 70 range. You know, he's that good of a player. He's that good of a player. So if they didn't have the Tomas contract, I would say absolutely. But that Yasmani Tomas contract is kind of got a strangle on the Diamondbacks budget. And the other thing I've always heard from other GMs is it's really difficult when you have one third of your budget tied up on one player. And that's what they have with Zach Greinke. Yeah.
All right. I'll let you go off that. Talk next week. Thanks, Pedro. I know it's short notice.
Brad,
see you.
Take care.
There. Pedro is doing live shots there with ESPN. Pedro Gomez joining us live on the show. Always good. Pedro Gomez is with us every week here on the show, and we appreciate Pedro. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. Appreciate that partnership. Our television show tonight, Brad Sesmat Football AZ, 16 airings this week on Fox Sports Arizona. We appreciate that partnership as well. We're brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers, and we're back with more from the Suns, their press conference in about a half hour. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We are at the Suns today. If you're saying, Brad, you're not in your studio doing your thing, that's right. Tonight, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona. 16 airings this week. We appreciate their support. We're brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We're at the Suns because there's a major press conference at 11 a.m. today. Presumably, it's around Ryan McDonough and his future and getting an extension by Robert Sarver. Robert doesn't speak much these days, so I felt as though when I got the word this morning at 7:30 of let's take the show on the road, we'll head down here. We'll rejoin you once the press conference is over, if not sooner, for reaction on all of this. I think it's a good day that, and it's been a good 24 hours here in the Valley. Those of us that have been here longer than a nanosecond know that the hockey team's been a disaster. We know that the NBA team has been a disaster. We know the Diamondbacks have been short of a disaster, but getting there. And this has all been about the Cardinals for the last 5 years, which really is not fun. You know, that for a sporting fan in a great market, you want every team to be vibrant. You don't want a bunch of them being cellar dwellers. And that's what we've had here. And that's just not fun. Let's not sugarcoat this. You know, fandom just is blind. And you have very good teams like the Mercury, and you have very good teams like the Rattlers doing their thing, but they just don't generate and resonate to the masses as the major four do. And that's just a fact. And when Phoenix Rising turns pro and goes MLS next year, they'll be on top. And that will even add to our market. Next week, Arizona State and U of A are out of Pac-12 Football Media Day. Both teams didn't even make a bowl game last year. It's an embarrassment. So I like to see some movement in a positive way. I don't just need to see moves made here and there. And this is, I think if you look at Ryan McDonough's body of work, I got people that are pointing towards Alex Len. I got it. I understand that that was a draft pick that has been on this roster for a long time. I'm not going to blame Ryan McDonough for that. I'm going to look at what has happened here in the last 3 years and say, has the organization gotten its legs back from under them from bottoming out this once proud franchise that if any team gets back on a roll, the Suns will just dwarf all these other teams if the Suns get back on a roll here. They will. And those that don't believe me haven't been here. They haven't seen what it's like when this is a Suns first town. And that's why the anger and the angst towards this organization, actually the indifference towards them here in the last few years, has been really hard to deal with, because I know what it's like here. And it's not just the Barkley era. You know, it's the Nash era, it's the Amari era, and there's been no era here. It may be the Devin Booker era. I don't know. So that's what the press conference is about, coming up at 11 a.m. Beyond that, so Haley and Jordan, they have their baseball podcast that they do on the site, and they do it every week. And yesterday, their Diamonds in the Desert podcast, they posted it at I'll bring them both in because they're both in studio. What time did you guys post your podcast yesterday? Because you're both planning for it. You're both very proud about it. What time did you guys post?
Yeah, we posted roughly 3:45 and then got an email at about 3:50 that a lot of things had happened since then. So we had to kind of go back and record a second one on the day, especially highlighting the J.D. Martinez trade.
Yeah. Are you just being kind when you say things kind of sort of happened?
I mean, things fell apart very quickly.
We're going to just burn this one. Was it any good?
No, it was good. We still posted it. It's still somewhat relevant.
Was it any good?
Yeah.
Haley, was it any?
We discussed a little bit of how Jake Lamb was in a bit of a slide, and then of course he comes out and has a big hit last night. It's sports. It's journalism. Things happen, and you roll with punches.
All right. So then the trade comes down. Mm-hmm. Then what do you guys?
Well, I called Haley, and one of us was on their way to the gym, and one of us was getting a pedicure. I'll let you guess which one was which.
I was on my way to the gym.
Later that evening, we ended up, once the completion of the Diamondbacks game happened, we ended up re-recording a second episode focusing on the J.D. Martinez trade and what they're getting and kind of the outlook for the rest of the season with him in the lineup.
Okay, was this all sugars and ice cream and sunshine, or do you guys see some gray clouds around this?
I mean,
give me a little bit about, without giving away your whole podcast, where did you guys go with this?
I think it's a home run. You know, he's a guy that has been a proven power hitter, a guy that can hit for average. He's hitting 300. This team struggles against left-handed pitching, and he hit 474 this year, and six of his 16 home runs came against left-handed pitching. And another important detail, I think, is if you can put him right behind Jake Lamb, you have Paul Goldschmidt, Jake Lamb, J.D. Martinez. Jake Lamb is now getting protection from a hitter that is a very good second-half hitter as well, so I think that helps bolster the middle of the lineup quite a bit, and it's not just that JD will have a solid season, but really the lineup as a whole is really revitalized.
Haley, what do you make out of it?
Well, I think it says a lot about the guys up top. I mean, they're making the changes for this team now. It's not necessarily that they're looking into the future. They mentioned yesterday that they recognized how good this team was as soon as they came out of the gates this season, and to make that trade now just says a lot about the confidence they have in this clubhouse.
All right. Well, don't you guys see, like, future on this, or are you just looking at the first 3 months and saying this is all that matters? Because if he walks away, what do they really give up?
I mean,
the surface.
Right. They really didn't give up that much, and they were giving up prospects that were a position of depth for them. Mm-hmm. So it's not it's a little bit easier to part ways with those. You know, I think that at the end of the day, if he does walk away, the Diamondbacks took a message and gave it to their fans that they're trying to make a push for this year, and that they feel that the roster is very close to being a playoff team and that sort of thing. So I think that if he does walk, it's still an exciting 3 months that the Diamondbacks are pursuing a playoff spot.
I totally agree with that.
So Tomas's contract, and Pedro alluded to it. So you've got this load of a number that's sitting there, and Tomas has done some good things. I don't think there's zero trade value for him myself. You guys might disagree on this. But I do believe that the way that you get out from under those is you have to take somebody's problem, and you're gonna have to trade something of value to get rid of a problem on the roster, meaning a player you don't want to necessarily move, but it helps you out long term because you get out from under a big contract. I don't know if you guys believe in that theory or not. I think that's what's got to happen here. And it probably needs to happen before the 31st. This cannot be the only deal.
I would, what I'm, Yeah, I would agree, and I think that the timing on this deal is interesting. I think Hazen wanted to address this need early while he still had two more weeks to work out other deals, whether it be the bullpen, whether it be another starting arm. In terms of Yasmani Tomas, I think he has a lot more value for American League teams where he can designated yep. hit because he's mm-hmm. a below-average fielder, and it's a similar situation that the Suns are in right now with Brandon Knight. They're trying to get a big contract out of there. They'll probably have to piece together maybe a prospect or a younger player who's been a contributor to add some value, like you said, to that. So certainly I don't think the Diamondbacks are done. Mike Hazen yesterday said that no deal was imminent following this one, but I certainly think that more will come before July 31st.
Yeah, and anytime guys are asked, Mike, are you done dealing? What is he going to say?
Right. No, I'm going to take 2 weeks off.
Yeah, we're done. I'm going to Cabo.
Right. You know,
you're always dealing in baseball.
It's like the worst. It's the when people go down that path, it's what are you going to get? So, you know, I guess I look at this, guys, and you've got an owner that wants to win, but he also wants a new building. Mm-hmm. You have a first baseman whose contract is below average and has let go of his representative, has brought in a new agent. He's a very nice guy who will never say a bad word about an organization, but that's all you hire agents, take care of the dirty work. You have a pitcher that's making $33 million and that's not going away in the next year or two, but you have an ace at the top of the rotation. So if you're Ken Kendrick and you're Derek Hall and you're stuck with this building situation, you're trying to justify how you can just go spend $60, $70 million. Fans are going to say, of course you need to go spend it. And if you only keep him for 3 months, I think that's a really tough message to send to the fan base that we couldn't keep him here, A. B, if you extend him, you've got to do something with Goldschmidt sooner than later. I think if you're Paul Goldschmidt today, you're looking at this like, okay, it's a pretty good message they're sending me. I finally have some protection behind me. No offense to Jake Lamb, but we've seen Jake Lamb here, Haley, to your point, in the last few weeks where he's been a strikeout machine. He just has been. There's no other way to put it. So now you've got some protection. If you look at that outfield of Pollock, Peralta, and J.D. Martinez, it's a really good outfield for several years to come. You know, you've really solved some issues here. So I guess I'm looking at this multiple layers, and in particular, I'm looking at Goldschmidt and what his thoughts are. Publicly, he'll say, yeah, it's great, because that's what he does. Yeah, it's great. It's exciting. We're all excited. We're going to hear the word excited a whole lot. But behind the scenes, I think the message sent yesterday to him was, look, unless things are, I'm misreading that, this was a positive day on the Goldschmidt front. It's got to be.
I think so, too. It's one of those, to reference another Valley longtime, you know, guy, Shane Doan, it's sending the message of, hey, you've been through the valleys. Now we're trying to make it a peak for you. Stick around a little bit longer. And
the difference. The difference on that is Shane Doan was at the end of his career.
True. No, absolutely. But
and they're keeping Shane because of the fan base.
Right.
This is the most productive first baseman. I would disagree with you on that. I think this is apples and oranges. That's just me.
Mm-hmm. No, and you know he is in a certainly in the peak of his career, but by no means is he a young player either. You know, he'll have maybe two or three more big contracts coming his way. But yeah, I think that definitely sends a message to him that, you know, this has been a pretty unfortunate couple of years in terms of performance for the team as a whole. But they're working with this new regime to try to bring in talent around him and try to make it a sustainable talent around him.
Okay, Haley, what do you make out of the Goldschmidt thing on this? Am I overreaching on this?
No, I don't think you are at all. I think it's, like you said, they're sending a message to Goldschmidt. They're sending a message to the entire clubhouse. And Goldschmidt in particular, like you said, he's getting that cushion. Lamb is getting that cushion. The middle of that lineup with Goldschmidt, it has been Goldschmidt as of late. So getting that extra cushion is going to be good.
All right, guys, good work there. We'll step aside here. A little bit more around the valley today. There's something cool out at ASU. We're going to try to turn it and bring it to you in the next segment. Their weight room was open this morning. They do their annual tradition of breaking the rock. We'll try to bring that to you on the other side a little bit more before the press conference. Broadcasting live today from the Sun, sports360az.com. I'm Brad Sesmat. We're brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate their support. All right, this is out at ASU. This came in from Justin Toscano, who is one of our terrific interns. So this is the breaking of the rock they do out at ASU, and they do it every year. This gets them started for the coming season. They showed off their weight room this morning. We were out there earlier for that. And this is one of those traditions that has gone on with ASU for quite some time with Todd Graham. The players that are gathered around, they get the big speech from their strength and conditioning staff, and this is to get them fired up for the start of the season. ASU opens up with Pac-12 Football Media Day next Wednesday, a week from today, along with U of A. And so it's the start of the season, and here they go. This is what they do to get people going. Boom. And that gets everybody fired up, and they're off and running. So that's out at ASU today. Some good stuff out there. And go Devils, as they like to say over at ASU. We like to just say it's pretty cool. So that is going on. One other thing I wanted to get to in today's show, and we'll have to push it back to tomorrow. Sports Business Journal did a commissioner's roundtable with Roger Goodell and Adam Silver and Rob Manfred and Gary Bettman. And they did it yesterday, and they talked about fan engagement and some of the changes that we're seeing in sports. Like, it's no longer about just W's and L's, believe it or not. There's groups of people that just want to go spend their entertainment dollar and to be entertained. And Goodell went after his own Red Zone channel yesterday. And the Red Zone, I think, is great. I don't know how you guys consume your football. Red Zone, to me, because I do the fantasy football thing. We're tied in with Michael Fabiano on the NFL Network every week. We had Michael on yesterday. Red Zone has been, according to Commissioner Goodell, it's been an additive, quote, you have to be willing to cannibalize yourself, end quote, from Roger Goodell. And there's some other very interesting comments that were brought up yesterday, and I just don't have time in the show. We've got this press conference starting here in a minute, but tomorrow I'm going to do a deep dive into that. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to have Isaac Bruce, Kurt Warner's teammate in St. Louis. Of course, Kurt's going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame here in a couple of weeks. You're going to start hearing some of his former teammates and coaches come on the show with us, and we'll have Isaac Bruce with us tomorrow. Just missed out in the Hall of Fame. What a terrific receiver. We'll have Goody at the movies tomorrow. Goody and I both agree on Dunkirk. We've both seen it. Bill gave it 5 stars, which he never does. Not giving away the lead on it. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Press conference is starting here shortly, and we will rejoin you here once the press conference is complete. And for now, enjoy the show from earlier today. All right, welcome back. We are at Talking Stick Resort. Press conference just wrapped up, and as expected, Ryan McDonough did get his contract extended, and which I think is rightly deserved. And the Suns also announced that they're bringing James Jones on board to be within the Suns front office. Pretty significant press conference. Robert Sarver was actually really good today and talked at length about how he's much better as an owner, and some of you aren't going to buy into this, and you know I've not been happy with how things have gone down here. And Robert may be with me in a minute, or Ryan or James Jones. It's one of the three, all three. I don't know. They're just going to roll on in. But Robert Sarver today was very humble and very much along the lines of, I was spoiled. I didn't really understand the whole deal. And he came into a space where the team was at the top. And we know that they've changed directions, like as the shape of a Z. Let's go this way, and then let's zag that way, and then let's zig this way. And that's why they're in the mess that they've been in for so long, though I think they're finally coming out of it. And so today, you know, the extension of Ryan McDonough, that's not breaking news. And I think it was warranted. I think it was deserved. I think it sends the absolute right message to everybody out there that has been following this organization, or anybody in town that's even considered if the Suns are getting their act together, because they just haven't. And I think this is a big step forward, you know, along with the young players that they've added. Most of you don't care about front office stuff. I get it. All you want to see are W's and L's and if it's entertaining. But if you don't want to know how the sausage is made, then when the team goes through its long extended droughts like we've had here with no playoff games since 2010, people kind of look around and say, well, why is this, you know, why is this the way that it's gone? There have been reasons for that. So James Jones is the big, I think, the headliner of this to me. Ryan McDonough being extended, that will be one splashy headline. The other part is James Jones coming on board. James Jones is a former NBA player as of today. Today was his retirement call. He had his family here today. And He went through the run with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's been teammates with, let's go through it. When he was here with the Suns, he was a teammate of Steve Nash's. He was a teammate of Amari Stoudemire's. He was a teammate of Chris Bosh, a teammate of Dwayne Wade, a teammate of LeBron James. He's been a teammate with guys that have gone to the highest levels in the NBA, and he's been able to look at and learn from them. I think there's obviously value in that. I think this is a secondary side of it. He's been working on the business end and on the agent end for quite some time behind the scenes. He's been working in a mentorship program. So he's been looking at his post-NBA career. There are guys that don't do that. They get out of the league, they finish playing, and they turn into what I call lost souls. They have no idea what it is they're going to do, when they're going to do it, how long they're going to do it. And instead, it's just like this mess. James Jones is not that guy. I think if you're a Suns fan, you have to look at things like procuring talent, sitting with talent, not just draft talent. But what's gone on with the Suns here the last few years when it has been about getting free agents to come to this organization, look at this organization, and consider playing for this organization? They have whiffed. There's no other way to put it, right? I mean, give me a really good free agent signing in the middle of his career. Jared Dudley was a fine free agent signing to have a veteran come in here, but he's on the end of his deal. Whether it was LaMarcus Aldridge using the Suns for leverage, or this year not getting really any traction at all, in this day and age of mega super teams being built, where you have to have three stars, and even Sarver said today you have to have four stars. I agree with that. So you have to have a player that can come in and be part of your team that is in that space. Players recruit players. That's just how it is. Most players don't want to get up and leave, but they want to get the big contract. The Suns can write big contracts. What are they going to do in the way of attracting free agents? You have to have a group of people within your organization that can step in and say, this is why you need to come here. It's not just coach. It's not just player. And you have to have a guy that is removed from the game, recently removed from the game, that can go to those players. Just because he's been a teammate with LeBron James doesn't mean that LeBron James is going to be a guy that comes here. Doesn't mean that. That's not what I'm suggesting or saying. But what I am saying is he has a pedigree that he's just now walking off the floor with the Cavaliers, that he is fresh enough to these players. For him, it's a toe in the water. To go into the front office and not be the guy. Is he a general manager in the making? I'm sure he is at 37 years of age, coming in here today. This is not a day where they added to the roster of talent on the floor, but they added to the roster of players in the front office that can go out and secure other talent. You may be a big, bad business owner, and you think you've got it all figured out, but if you don't have people around you that can go connect those dots, you're just not going to do it. I think the headline here today is James Jones won and Ryan McDonough being extended to for stability. And I thought Robert Sarver today came off very, very well. I did. We'll take a quick break here and we'll have some reaction here in a moment. Sports360AZ.com. This is some extended coverage. Sports360AZ.com. Back after this timeout from the arena. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, 16 airings this week. We appreciate them, and we're brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. All that said, as mentioned, Robert Sarver. I was just telling him off the air. I thought he was very, very good today, and he is nice enough to join us. This is a good day, I think. You have had tough, tough, tough days. This day, to extend Ryan and have stability and bring in James Jones. Let's just talk about this and how it all came to be.
Yeah, I mean, I've had the ups and the downs and the great years and the not so great years. And, you know, I think that kind of comes with the business. To me, you just learn and try to improve year by year, be realistic about, you know, kind of how you've performed, what you've done, how you can improve, how you can do things different, how you can do things better, try to exploit your strengths and improve on your weaknesses. And, in this situation, I think, you know, having Ryan continue in his capacity, I think he's going to done a good job putting the architecture together for rebuilding through the draft and acquiring and developing really good, talented young players. And I think having that continue, I believe in his vision and I believe in his execution. And I also trust Ryan a lot. Mm-hmm. And Ryan's honest with himself, which I think is important too, as I touched on a little bit earlier. And, you know, his mission is to improve every day, learn from his mistakes, do things better. That's part of what we preach to our coaches and to our players, and that's what we have to do too. In terms of James, James gives us another asset in our and another voice in our management group that's different, mm-hmm. coming from someone who just recently retired as a player.
Positive.
Very positive. Yeah. First of all, he's a quality individual. I knew that when he played for me for a couple years back in the day. I've always kept in contact with him and reached out to him right away as soon as I knew he wasn't going to be playing. And he had a fondness for his relationship in Phoenix and hopped on a plane 2 days later and came to Vegas, spent some time with us, with Ryan and I and our basketball staff and our coach, and watched a couple of our games. And I think it's going to be a great relationship. He brings, I think, three primary skills and benefits. One, I think he has a very intimate knowledge of what it takes to put together a championship caliber team. He also has a very current view of players, existing NBA right. players. And the third thing is he's got a good way of communicating, not an intimidating, but a gentle but impressive way of communicating. And I think he'll be helpful in the mentoring of our young players.
Which, you know, it's kind of like having Jared Dudley come here in the locker room part of mentoring the young players, or when Grant was here at the end of his career with the young players.
Right.
I know that's important to you. I asked you the question in the press conference. I think it's important that as a former player just now removed, not that this is sole job, but the recruitment of players from somebody who just got out and being able to attract free agents here, because you've got the draft part. It's like you're one, as you said, three or four big players. You got to have a full staff. Not say you couldn't do it, but just haven't been able to do it. And James now, to me,
I definitely think he'll help in that regard. For one, it'll help us in terms of how we evaluate some of those players and trying to make the right decision.
Sure.
But I think he'll help in the recruiting process too, because you know, he's got good relationships with a lot of the top players around the league. And I think he's well-respected by players. He wouldn't have been in a position to be a leadership role in the player union for 8 years without being well respected. So I think the recruiting piece will be important. But, you know, a good part of the recruiting piece is patience, too. And I think you saw us over the last couple of years, you know, where we had a chance to get maybe the best player, we swung the bat. And I think we'll always do that. But what we didn't want to do is kind of go down the list and then have people take time away from the development of some of these younger players. And so we try to play pretty disciplined in that regard. And, you know, that's kind of been our game plan.
He probably has a very good relationship with agents, too. I mean, just having been through the players union and players and all
definitely.
That stuff. I mean, it's not just the player part of it. You've got to be able to connect dots.
Yeah, we were out. Summer League is kind of where a lot of the NBA is.
Yeah.
And I was with him for 2 days at Summer League. And, you know, you couldn't walk 3 feet without a player, a former player, a coach, a front office person, an agent, someone coming to, you know, with a smile on their face to say hi to them.
I've known you since you came here and from day one. And today you sat up there and you sounded like a completely different person in terms of ownership, in a way of admitting, look, it's easy when you have Steve Nash. You talked about Mike D'Antoni and you've learned a lot. I mean, I just think, Robert, today was a big day, I thought.
Well, I don't know. Maybe because I was out there more public.
You
know, I think you know, over time you learn, and I've been in this business now 13 years.
Right.
And if I haven't learned, shame on me. I will say it's a difficult business. You know, you come and watch a game and they throw the ball up and there's five guys playing and a couple coaches and you think it looks pretty simple. But when you actually get behind it, it's not. You know, you learn as you go. You try to be self-reflective and you try to be intellectually honest with yourself. And one good thing about sports, and, you know, I run a public company too on the New York Stock Exchange.
Right.
When your results are in the paper every day, you know, it is what it is. And so, you know, that's one of the great things about professional sports. You know, every day you see where you're at.
Well, it was interesting because as the press conference is going, I'm seeing fans say, this is a different sounding owner. In years past, we've had change and going different directions.
Sometimes that change was needed for different reasons. But I think I feel better about my ability to run this organization, and maybe that's the sense you got. Yeah. You heard me on the press conference.
No, I mean, you were just.
And I also feel I'm surrounded with some really good people, and I think we're in a good place right now.
Yeah, well, extending Ryan, let's get to Ryan then, because we talked about James. So when did you decide, you know what, this, because you have to earn that respect and earn that trust. When did you decide, okay, let's extend him? Because,
well, Ryan and I kind of had a handshake a while ago, so it wasn't something that just happened last week, but it's something we just finalized. You know, when you work with someone for 4 years, you get to know them pretty good. And, you know, as I said up there, Ryan's got a good eye for basketball talent. He's growing as a manager of people and as a leader, which isn't easy, takes time. And he's self-reflective, and he takes ownership for his mistakes. He learns from them. And Ryan's going to continue to get better. And, you know, Earl, I put Earl in the same bucket. You know, not only do we have a young core, but we got a young coach and a young GM, but they're smart. They want to learn. They want to get better. They spend the off season figuring out how to get better. Mm-hmm. And I respect that, and I believe in that, and I want them to be very successful.
What's missing here? And I'm kind of leading you this one because you addressed it at the top today.
Yeah, I mean,
the only thing that's missing from your view is,
well, what's missing is a banner in our arena with NBA championship. In order to get that, what's missing is 3 All-Stars. So, you know,
or four.
So it's up to us to execute. You know, all this conversation and talk about our strategy and our plans and our great base and all that, you know, it's all about execution. So, you know, I think we are in a good position as a young team with good young players, with flexibility and with future draft picks. So, and that's what attracted James. But it's up to us to execute. And so there are no assurances, and we have to go out and do that and be good at it and execute over the next few years and develop these young players. And probably sprinkle in a couple others when the time's right. You know, that work remains to be seen. But I think we got the right people in the right place to succeed. And, you know, time will tell.
Do you like the whole mega team that's being built, that whole trend in the NBA of going and getting 3 and 4 stars, and what's going on in Houston and what's going on in other cities?
It doesn't really matter whether I like it or not. It's just what happens. Yeah. And I think that's a theme with just young people in general. The whole idea of collaboration and communication and, you know, the amount you're contacting people and working with people in similar businesses. I think that's this generation. Hmm. This generation is more into collaboration. So it doesn't surprise me. It is what it is. And knowing that, we know what we need to do.
I think
we have a future all-star in Devin, and I think it's up to Devin. I think the only person that can stop Devin from being an all-star is Devin, and I think he's smart enough to become an all-star. And then I look at a few of the other younger players we have, and I think, you know, we got to get 2 of them to that level too. So we may be able to grow 3 all-stars. You know, I think if Eric was in the East, he'd be an all-star. So, you know, the plate's set. We got a lot of assets. We got to execute. And the reality is, in this business, it's all about results. So I feel good about where we are, but that doesn't really mean anything. It's only about what we accomplish over the next few years.
But you said today up there, you're willing to grow and go through those growing pains.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, as I said, this organization, we're going on our 50th year. You know, we got MVPs, we got conference finals, division finals, all that kind of stuff. We need a championship banner. So whatever it takes to do that's what I'm focused on. I'm not going to shortcut that. And, you know, that's where I'm at.
I appreciate you coming by.
Okay.
Good nice to see you, Robert.
As always. Take care.
Robert Sarver with us. We're back with more after this timeout. And we are back at the arena now. James Jones is with us. James Jones is now a retired NBA player, former Sun, former Cavalier, former Heat. I'm not going to go through all the formers, but now you are in the front office of the Phoenix Suns. First of all, you're retired. How does it feel? Do you want to give the retirement statement? Do you want to go through all the players you need to thank? Did you already do that?
No, I haven't done that yet. I'll get there eventually.
Let me think. LeBron, Nash,
Sean Marion, Reggie Miller, Jermaine O'Neal, Ron Artest, Al Harrington, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Udonis Haslem, Mike Miller, Shane Battier, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, Richard Jefferson, Channing Frye.
Toughest teammate?
Udonis Haslem.
Because?
Tough all the time.
The guy that impacted you the most?
LeBron.
Because? Yeah. Just because it's LeBron or? Things you wouldn't see?
Because of LeBron the person, not LeBron the player.
In what way?
You talk about the skill set that he has, the natural talent, but the amount of work mentally, physically, and emotionally that he invests into getting the most out of what he has. You know, I don't think there's anyone I've ever seen more dedicated to their craft. I mean, it's unbelievable what the days look like. And it's not because he's forced to do it. It's because that's what he desires to do. Mm-hmm. Like he wants to be the greatest. And he's constantly searching to be the greatest, even though he has arguably the greatest physical skill set that we've seen in recent history. That's the smallest part of why he's great.
Best teammate. On the court, off the court, life's hard, life's good. Best teammate.
LeBron. But Steve Nash was amazing. You know, Steve is, you know, it's something, and you find something very similar between those two guys. They're both pass first guys. They're both distributors. Mm-hmm. You know, they're guys that lift their teammates up. They're excited about that. It's never about individual success or accolades. I remember Steve when I was here. Regardless of his games, the only thing he was concerned about was how his teammates felt. You know, if they were getting the ball in the spots that they needed. You know, if they felt great physically, emotionally. If there's anything he could do for them, that's the unique thing about those distributors. So LeBron, because I just spent so much time with him.
Sure.
I had 2 years with Steve, but Steve impacted me a lot when I was here in Phoenix, and rightfully so. I think everyone recognized just how great of a talent he was and how great of a teammate and person he was.
Who was the guy that when you looked at him, he's a pretty good player, career's done, it's like, my gosh, I played with this guy and I didn't see it. Not disrespecting them as a game, but you might have said, I didn't really realize how good this guy was till I was with him. Easy answer is LeBron.
No, Ron Artest.
Ron Artest, okay.
Ron Artest. You know, people think about Ron Artest, just the physical defensive guy, but just his understanding of the game. He's an extremely bright player. I mean, exceptionally bright when it came to the game of basketball, being able to analyze things and situations and anticipation. Like so much of what he did defensively was pure anticipation, and people thought it was natural instincts, but he was a student of the game. He studied people's habits. He studied their tendencies. You know, he was always testing his skill set, testing his opponent's skill set, you know, testing the defensive system and the schemes. I mean, he was just always inquisitive. And so when you look at him, you think that, oh, he's just going off on a rant, or he's undisciplined, or he's just wild. But it was always calculated, because what he was doing was finding the gaps and trying to improve on them. And no one worked. Very few people were as competitive as he was. I mean, the type of guy that wanted to play pickup, wanted to play one-on-one before the games, you know, would continue to play until he figured out how a guy was getting a shot off, and would just go over and over and over and over again, trying to get people to simulate all of the situations, scenarios that he would face. So Ron Artest was very underrated. And I think if you ask his teammates, guys that play with him, they'll tell you the same.
Okay, so if Ron Artest and LeBron James and Steve Nash, all guys that you've, and Adonis Haslem, if I were to have all of them and say, James Jones is going to work in the front office of an NBA franchise as soon as he is done playing, would they have believed me?
I think they would have. You know, they all understood, and they still understand that for me, playing was just one aspect of the game. I've always wanted to master the sport of basketball. And in order to do that, you have to play it.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to be in a position where you set the environment so that players can play it and excel. And so to be a winner on both sides, that's my goal. And that's why I'm motivated, and that's why I'm here, because it gives me a purpose, and it gives me an opportunity to continue that growth arc in the sport.
Did you have other opportunities to do this?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. You know, so why Phoenix?
Because it just worked. You know, there's a bunch of different factors. And for a lot of the issues, I didn't want to be a cherry on top. That's not the way I was raised. That's not the way my career unfolded. I was never a guy that, you know, things were in place and then just throw him in there and make it work. Mm-hmm. I was always a part of building. You know, I went to Indiana as a rookie, and they pretty much had a very good team, some pieces, but they had just gotten Jermaine O'Neal, and they were baking the cake, and they had some young players, and they had just relieved Isaiah Thomas of his job, and they brought Rick Carlisle in his first year there from Detroit. So it was a buildup. They had talent, but it was a buildup. And so I had a chance and experience to go through that. Then coming here in Phoenix, you know, the year before I got here, you know, the Suns, I think, won 63 games or 61 games. And then we had some injuries and some challenges. And, you know, we lost to Dallas, and the next year Amari gets hurt. And now Boris Diaw's playing the five. And so we're rebuilding and we're fighting again. And then from there to Portland, we're at a young team with Greg Oden and Brandon Roy. And we didn't make the playoffs, and we're fighting and building. And then from there to Miami, where, you know, they were just coming off a 15-win season, I believe, and Michael Beasley and Mario Chalmers, and we're building again. And then LeBron and Chris come to Miami, and we trend upward to win a title. And then from there to Cleveland, where, you know, there was – you know, some young guys, they won 20 games. You know, they traded the number one pick to get Kevin Love. So we're rebuilding again. And so when I looked at the opportunities to work, this was one that was intriguing, because we're building and we have the pieces to build. And I know the people here, and I know what they're about, and I know what the city is about. Right. Well, this isn't a place where the city's just going to accept mediocrity.
Nope.
And that's the pressure that I thrive under, because when you're in those situations, no one really cares about roles, titles. The only thing people care about is success and progress. And that's what I wanted to be a part of. And that's why this was so much different than any other situation.
Well, and you also had some people sitting in the front row on the left side. It's a great place to raise a family.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's for those of you that I'm speaking to those that didn't see it, but James's family was in the front row. And so you got a young family. This is not a bad place to
make it happen. Phoenix is a great city. The weather's amazing. Like I said, it's gratifying for me to be in a place where my family is happy, because that allows me to come in here and do the minute work, the heavy stuff, the stuff that that's not glamorous, the stuff that no one really enjoys doing. But that's when I'm at my best, because I can know that I can walk away from home and my kids and my wife are fine. Now I can get to work and deliver for our fans.
One other question, and I was talking to Robert about it earlier, and I asked him in the press conference about it. To Brad, it feels as though you are here as one of the many things that you can do is you are now just removed from the league. Players recruit players, in my opinion, and cities can recruit them, owners can recruit them. I get that. You've been in the players' union. You can walk up to a player. You can walk up to an agent. You know your way around. Recruiting veteran free agents to come to Phoenix is all part of the skill set, in my opinion. And I believe that you have, I'm not going to put all on you, obviously, but I think as a collective team, you're going to be able to help in that space. If you can talk about recruitment of players to Phoenix.
I hope so. You know, I hope I can help in that regard. But I'm with Robert, and that I think players can recruit players more than anything these days. But I'd hope to be able to,
Don't die on me.
No, I won't do that. I hope to be able to convince them to come here. And in order to convince a player, has to be layered. You know, players want top flight facilities. You know, they want the best coaching. You know, they want the best support. They want some of the best fans. They have that here. And so you just want to stack those elements on top of each other. And then when you go and you present something to a player, everyone has lights. What I mean is everyone can tell a player how great it'll be and all the rest of this. But then you have to talk about your family. Then you have to talk about the track record of the organization. You know, what's the identity? What's the plan? You know, do you believe the organization when they say that we'll have continuity and we'll continue to grow on this path, and that, you know, these are the predictable factors and these are the predictable steps and this is our predictable path. That's what players want, because like I said, players are invested in these teams. And as players, we're all underdogs at some point. And so as much as we want to win, we want the gratification of being the ones to actually build and carry someone over the top. And so after players have done that for so long in organizations where maybe there hasn't been that continuity, and there hasn't been an opportunity to win, they flip the script and they say, well, okay, I'm going to go somewhere else. But when they go somewhere else, they also want to make sure that those places still have what we're talking about, continuity, an identity, great facilities, great people in the organization. And so if we can position ourselves to be that, then that gives us a chance to convince players, not recruit them. Because I look at, if you ask a player, players don't want to be recruited. They feel like when you try to say, I'm recruiting you, it's like you're trying to.
No, I got it.
You know, so it's. But
let me tell you how great you are. Well, I already know how good I am.
I agree that, you know, it's a part of the total picture, the total package. And I hope that my relationships, my understanding, my path, my experience helps us get those type of players.
All right. I could go on and on with you, but yeah. I'll let you go off today. Appreciate you coming by.
No, thank you.
Welcome
so
back, James.
I appreciate it.
Good seeing you. It's James Jones with us. And I think a good day having him come on board here and be a part of this organization. It's just been quite some time. It's been quite some time since they've had some people that collectively can be a group, and that there's been some consistency and some continuity. I think we're done. I think we're done. It was good. I've had Ryan on a couple of weeks ago, and I think we can visit down the road. It's good to have Robert Sarver with us. Good to have James Jones with us again. We stream with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We appreciate their partnership. Our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, 12 airings this week. And we have plenty of content up on our website throughout the day and throughout the night. 6 years we've been at it. Appreciate that. And the people at Hyundai, Valley Hyundai dealers, for supporting us. For now, so long from the Suns. Have yourself a great day.
Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.